This podcast contains adult language. DigitalDarren.com. Today is June 1st, 2015. Got Sam and D with me. What's up, man?
What up, Darren? What's up, Digital Darren? What's up, good listeners?
Chilling. Today's podcast is a music matchup. And so for everybody who's the frequent listeners know what music matchups are. But for the new listeners and the ones who don't listen that much, on DigitalDarren.com, we talk more than sports. And I love when we get away from sports to music because those are some of our best podcasts. The concept of music matchup is really we kind of catalog and look at some of the greatest CDs of Southern rap music. And the reason we always do Southern rap music is because everybody on this podcast is a connoisseur of Southern rap music. And we listen to all music and we're pretty knowledgeable on most rap music and most music in general for our generation. But we're in the age range where we were probably in middle school when Southern rap music first took off. And as we grew into adulthood, the popularity and just the number of people making Southern rap music has increased. So we feel like we're qualified and not even feel we are qualified to talk about Southern rap music better than anybody around. And so a music matchup may compare Outkast to Scarface or all the Scarface CDs or all of the T.I. CDs. And it's not a who's the best or worst. It's just, you know, this is one great piece of music, or let's compare these several great pieces of music and see why they all are great and what makes them great. And so today's music matchup, we would be remiss if we never did one on UGK. I'm bringing in Sama D for several reasons. One, Sama D is a musician himself. We'll get to that a little later. And then two, Sama D, like myself, is a UGK alumni, UGK fan. What else can we say about UGK before we get into the music?
Well, to me, UGK is my number one top group of all time. I put them over Outkast. So if that doesn't say how I feel about them, I don't know what will.
I'm not going to say that they're the best hands down, but they're in that tournament. They're in the Final Four or whatever. So for me, UGK, Outkast, NWA Tribe Called Quest, and maybe the Ghetto Boys are in a free-for-all for best of all time. But I will say this. UGK, and I forgot to say 8-Ball MJG. Forgive me, 8-Ball MJG. We're going to go through the catalog, and we're going to start from Too Hard to Swallow. We're not going to talk about the band and the Southern way because up until recently, meaning the 2000s, it was hard, very hard to get that music. UGK, Bun B, Pimp C. Talk about how you first heard UGK.
Listen, UGK. Man, I remember being in middle school and hearing everybody say Pocket Full of Stones. And everybody was singing it. And I'll be honest, I really didn't know much about UGK. I really got into them through Ryan Dirty. Then I ended up going back to see, you know, check out all their old stuff. But, Pocket Full of Stones might have been the first thing I heard from him. Then he was also on the Menace to Society soundtrack. So if you saw the movie, you could hear it playing in the background. But, you know, as kids, we didn't really pick up on that like that. But as I got older, then, you know, I could appreciate the music more.
Yeah. So, me and you went to middle school together. We've been knowing each other since middle school, right? And so, I think we were in seventh grade, and I think that I heard Use Me Up. And I was riding with my mama back when Ryan Cameron was on V103. And he played it. And I was singing the song because it basically Use Me Up was, it took a sample from,
Bill Withers.
Yeah, it took a sound from Bill Withers. And so my mom knew the sample because, of course, that was from her generation or whatever. And so when she heard the remix to the song, she was like, why would somebody want to use you up? And the song was good. And Pimp C was just talking about how he had a girl who he was, you know, basically sprung off of. And she could do whatever as long as she gave him the pussy. So, you know, she was like, well, why would anybody want to use him up? And so I was just in the maze listening to the song because I liked the song. Huh? We both were sitting there with kind of a dazed look on our face. I was amazed she knew the song. She was amazed that they took a classic song.
And I mean, to this day, I'm actually amazed how they was able to get them samples on that first album. I mean, they had everything from Rufus to the Isley Brothers. And, you know, in an age where, you know, I don't know, it must have been easier back then. But, you know, now everybody's talking about how hard it is to clear a sample or they get sued and, you know, a lot of court action back and forth, but back then, man, they had like some of the best classic songs ever sounded.
They did, and that leads perfect lead into the first CD, Too Hard to Swallow. Like you say, Too Hard to Swallow was, it had sample on top of sample. So it had Use Me Up was a sample. Cramping My Style had a sample.
Yeah, and they had Tell Me Something Good.
Tell Me Something Good had a sample. And I think at the time when we listened to it, we knew what the samples were because they pretty much used pretty classic songs. Like Tell Me Something Good used the Isley Brothers. Use Me Up, like you said, contained a sample by Bill Withers. Between the Sheets was Cramping My Style. I feel like I'm the one who doing dope sampled Ghetto Boys. I remember that. And like you say, at the time, everybody sampled a lot of classic songs from a group who, at that time, from my understanding, that was like a underground CD, not to play a pun on their name, but it was just, it wasn't. It was like a lot of this stuff was songs that they had already done that when they wound up mixing and stuff like that. You would have thought the label would have shut it down because they used some of those masters, because you really had to come out the pocket for that CD. Jive had to come out the pocket for that CD for two people who pretty much were relative, who were unknown at the time, right?
Yeah, and then like what I want to touch on is, as a kid, like I said, we didn't know much about the samples or where it came from. We just appreciated the song that they made, you know, that UGK made. But as we got older and we found, you know, we got into the, you know, the classics and the older music, then it's like another pleasant surprise. Like, oh, that's how they flipped that. Or, you know, it's basically two birds with one stone.
Exactly. So to your point, when you're young, you just like the beat. You know the song that they sampled because your mom or your dad or your parents, it's something your older people listen to. And so you knew the song and you knew the beat. And you really didn't know what the original song was. You may knew bits and pieces. You may knew like the parts of it, but not the overall tone of it, the CD it was on and everything, like, oh, the album it was on, excuse me, and things like that. But as you got older and you knew what Summer Breeze was and you knew what Rufus was and you knew what, you know, Curtis Mayfield was talking about, then, like you say, that was like, wow, you could see exactly why they sampled that beat and made it and interpreted the song to the way they did it to. And it went in together like click and clack. You know what I'm saying? It fit in like a glove because it added another layer of depth and intrigue and greatness to the song personally. Okay. What were some of your favorite songs on there? Just give me a couple and tell me why.
Oh man, like I said, with this one they had a few duds on there, but it was still a classic to me. Like I'll go down the list. Okay, Something Good. You know, that's a classic. I mean, Pimpin' Bun didn't even cuss on it.
And it's iconic how the CD start, right? So the CD start one with a trigger, two with a back, three Big Brothers folk. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of people who are familiar with UGK can, if nothing else about the CD, they can come in with how the CD come in with that, right? So
So that right there, I mean, that just, to me, it was just like a perfect introduction. And, you know, it's real smooth, it's real grown. And then, like you said, then they followed up with Use Me Up, which is really, might be one of my favorites on the Use Me Up, because Pimp was spitting some real shit on there. And, you know, when you're young, you don't really know what the hell you're talking about. But as you get older, you're like, man, you know, I should have been listening to Pimp.
Yeah.
And then of course, Pocket Full of Stones is just, you know, that might be the original Dope Boy trap song ever. You know what I'm saying? Like Pocket Full of Stones. Short Takes was cool. I like Short Takes. Cocaine in the Back of the Ride is one of my favorites because that's like the predecessor to Murder. You know, I like how they both used the first lines from Cocaine in the Back of the Ride in Murder.
The UGK Posse got the big nuts. Yo, so who's a bold bitch? Try to make a sale, you better bail before they find you in a ditch. This dope ain't your dope, and these cuts they just cut. Yo, but this is my 12 gauge in your motherfucking nuts. Don't make me pump this bitch in a flow. Beat your beat, motherfucker, hit the motherfucking road. And don't even try to.
And your sister too. And if I'm locked down and said that shit might go with you. Try to get no boss nuts. I take them sucker. Fucking round with you, you be a dead motherfucker. Nigga, on the 17, but I'm running the show. Selling dope from Louisiana down to El Segundo. I think it's only bad that I should knock on wood. Cause my bitches on the street. Pussy say I'm real good and I'm a homo, not the trip. Bitch, fuck kitty. I take out my 92 in your fucking.
So I'm on the other side of you. Short Texas probably was my favorite song on the CD. Pimp C, I don't give a fuck who you be. You know what I'm saying? You could be Tony Montana's bitch, got a boatload of dope, and you still ain't shelling shit. So I think that.
Yeah. You're right. Pimp C came hard now, but it just one of those ones that out of that CD, it wasn't like my top three.
It's my top. It may be my top one because I thought that was where Pimp got to come a little harder with his rhymes. And just the whole concept of what Short Texas was, because they really were putting PA on the map with that song. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, at the time when we heard Texas, it was, you know, basically Houston for the most part. And so they was holding, it's like the little guy dropping his nuts saying, fuck with me if you want. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I always like Short Texas. I thought Cocaine in the Back of the Ride was, again, like you say, I thought that was a lot like Murder. Well, man, Bun lit that motherfucker up. You know what I'm saying? If you want to hear lyrics to me, Bun lyrically murdered that for that to be 91, 92.
But you know, one that a lot of people slept on, which I basically slept on too, because I thought it was this old soft ass lovey dovey girl track.
You were constantly jocking and calling me every day. The truth hurts, mom, and you won't admit, because you're too busy thinking you're the shit. You're packing my style.
Man, Bun killed Crack in My Style.
He did. He did.
Bun left some awesome lyrics for you to take with you and crap in my style.
He did, because they had the girl on there. I didn't know her name. I think I forgot her name, but
her name was Infinity. She had that old, you know, 1991 rap style, you know, that
You know, she sounded like an MC, like she sounded like a girl of the time or whatever. So, but like you say, Bun really put her in her place with that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so,
like I said, if the song didn't have old girl on there, man, that shit would be classic. You know, I mean, it's cool. They were going back and forth, man. But Bun ripped that shit.
You know, he did.
So for those listening that slept on Crap of My Style, you need to go back and just listen to Bun verse.
Cause it was a great song at the time because they sampled the Between the Sheets and the Isley Brothers, and it's just like, again, like we talking about, kind of the theme of this CD was that they would take something old school that would symbolize love and, you know, family and just wholesomeness, and they flipped it.
And to me, like the lyrics, some of the lyrics is timeless. Like it's 2015 now, and Bun said you could keep the wedding, I just want the honeymoon. You know what I'm saying? It's things like that I could just appreciate. Forever.
Exactly.
Much for the second half of the album. You know, I think I might have skipped those all the way down to the Pimp C remix.
Now, I listened to I'm So Bad because it gave you one of the... It actually was mixed in with I'm So Bad, I Could Suck My Own Dick. Like when it was scratching. And so, back when we were young, we used to just crack it as a joke. I remember me and Quinn used to crack it as a joke. You know what I'm saying? I remember he was the first one, my homeboy Quinn. He told the girl, I'm so bad, I can suck my own dick. And I was like, did you just steal the UGK thing? He was like, yeah, yeah. And so he was telling them, again, we 13 at the time, I think we in 7th grade. Hey, he basically was saying, I'm so bad, I can suck my own dick. Because, you know, we were, even as a middle schoolers, we were kind of taking that. And some of the more advanced young men were taking that and using that to get over, like, hey, you're not finna get one up on me to a girl. So I always used to listen to I'm So Bad I Could Suck My Own Dick. And I thought it was just masterful how they scratched that in. Cause you know that was like a DJ mix, that song or whatever. Cause my dick need that satisfaction. Bitch, you ain't even my type. Yeah, your mama said that, but she still got me right. A nigga, my mama don't even do that shit. Bitch, your mama suck a mean ass dick, but I don't need you anyway, trick. Cause I'm so bad, I can suck my own motherfucking dick.
Let me ask you this. This is one song that I still don't think I ever listened through. Did you ever listen to that 976 Bun B?
I listened to it, but it's, you know, it was short, but it. Like you say, I used to skip over it. Back on the original CD, you know, back on the original, I used to skip over it. Because I used to be one of them kids growing up that when you listen to a CD, you listen to certain parts. And then, you know, you stick to the parts you like. And like you say, I think I got this, I originally got this as a tape. So let me quit lying.
I was just about to say, come on. I mean, before, I don't think I had the CD until I was in high school.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The CD was recon for me. Retcon, meaning I went back and got the CD, but originally I had the tape. And so I think Cramping My Style may have been the last song on the first side. If it wasn't the last song on the first side, it was the first song on the B side. So let's pause right quick. So the kids, when we said A side and B side, before tape, before CDs, we were listening to tapes. So a tape would be, A side would be, you know, maybe songs 1 through 5. B side may be songs 8 to 12, and we'll get to that on one of the on the iconic Ride Dirty because Pimp C Rape's reference to that. But so when we say A side and B side, we're talking about different sides of the tape.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, A side, B side. I really even flipped it over that many times because all my favorites were on the A side.
I'm not gonna lie, I used to get the Cramp in My Style, and I would just like flip it over. I would go to I'm So Bad, like I said, because really Quinn got me on that song. Trill Ass Nigga Didn't Step On. I didn't really start listening to that till I got old. I listened to it, but I really didn't listen to it.
But now that Something Good Pimp C Remix is good.
So let me ask you this. By UGK standards, to wrap up Too Hard to Swallow, what would you give this album?
Oh, man, you asking me. I damn near, I give him an 8.
8 on a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah, 8 on a scale of 1 to 10. I really thought between 7 and 8 because of the, like I said, them couple songs that, to me, I just, it just didn't move me as much as, you know, the others. But it's still a classic to me because that's how I first got introduced to UGK.
I was thinking of 8, 8.5, and I'd say it shows growth, right? So, of course, the UGK you heard in 91 shouldn't be the same UGK you hear in 94, shouldn't be the same UGK you heard in 2000, right? So as a first intro to, hey, this is who I am, because remember when we first heard it, I went to Turtles and got it, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if it wasn't for the Menace to Society soundtrack, and for me, Ryan Cameron playing Use Me Up on the radio, I probably wouldn't have known about UGK till 2 or 3 albums in. So I thought as an intro, whenever you could do an intro, and just like 8-Ball and MJG, their intro album was 9 songs long. When you can get to an intro, and like you say, the first 7 songs I listened to nonstop.
Yeah.
After Cramping My Style, it would kind of hit or miss. So like you say, that's why I would get an 8. And knowing more, like now in the age of YouTube, and you can hear them talk about what was going on when they created the CD, I say it was a B, a solid 8, 8.5. So I can agree with you on that.
I mean, with me, like I said, my first UGK album was Ride Dirt. So when I went to Swallow, I was basically moving backwards.
Yeah.
But I was still able to appreciate it and enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like I was like, oh, man, you know, I'm disappointed in anything. It was actually, you know, like I said, a good album.
Yeah. So you gave it an 8. I gave it an 8.5. Too Hard to Swallow, great intro. Second CD, super tight. It all started with a pimp CD. So what the fuck is up? Told him something good. He's about my motherfucking cut. Tell them you don't really wanna fuck with a trail nigga from the trail filler with a steel trigger. Land on the real killers. Clop, clop, motherfucker, there you go. I'ma bust him on your ass if you don't ease up on me, ho. Super tight, man. Yup, goddamn. Then Bun killed that one too. I forget. This is the most underrated UGK CD to me. Point blank, period, hands down.
Yeah, because this one rolled through.
This one is 11 songs deep. I literally do not have to skip a song.
Nah, they rolled through. They even got, you know what I'm saying, they got political with the Protect and Serve, Stone Junkie. This one to me was more versatile. Like, it gave the fans everything they wanted in this one.
I agree with you. I think that, like, to me, how, especially at the time, most albums start off with, hey, let's put out what we can put out. And that's why I think that's why they used a lot of samples. So at least if you weren't familiar with them, you'd be familiar with the beats. And then, you know, you could use all the samples to kind of, you know what I'm saying, play recognition to the group. Hey, that's the group who sampled the Isley Brothers. Hey, that's the group who did this. I think this CD, they started to get a little more freedom and understood what it took to make a CD. So I think that Jive basically say, okay, these guys have some talent. We can loosen up the strings on them a little bit. You know, we can let them do what they do.
And like you said, in a way, this might be their true introduction.
Exactly.
This is where you can see their creativity, you know, as far as the production goes. And you know, the overall theme with the songs, because with Too Hard to Swallow, with the samples kind of already gave you kind of like a premeditated hook. Like, you already kind of know what the song is going to be about. You know, or what kind of path it's going to lead. But this one, like I said, it's mostly original production. There's not that many samples. And it just allowed, you know, Pimp and Bun to do what they were meant to do.
So let me say this, because you just said the key word, production. One of the reasons UGK is so great, and one of the reasons they're probably all the greatest group, is most of their production was done by none other than Pimp C.
Good old Chad.
And what I like about Pimp C's production is that he's one of the few who uses a lot of instruments. So, like, when you hear Pimp C beat, you can hear the trumpets, you can hear the instruments, not just like Manny Fresh. Manny Fresh used a lot of 808s or whatever, right? A lot of bass. Pimp C, and to me, if you really look for that UGK sound, Pimp C, and if you're trying to get that UGK sound now in 2015, it's only really two places you can go. And to me, it's N.O. Joe and Corey Mo, because they the ones who still use the instruments like Pimp. The beats weren't bass beats. They were more, it was more jazz, basically, to me. It was more like jazz and live instruments.
Pimp C is one of the most underrated producers, you know, out there, because he had, like I said, it's only, like, to me, it's only two places that got that sound. You know, really, it might be three, if you want to add Organized Noise and Suave House. But, it, you know what I'm saying, as far as the instruments, the trumpets, and the bass guitar and the piano, I mean, it's not a national sound. It's only, like I said, three special places that I could think of that could bring that sound.
What places you think of that could bring that sound?
Back then, I would say MC, which was with Port Arthur or Houston. And then I would go with 8-Ball MJG, Memphis, Tennessee, and the Organized Noise in Atlanta.
Let's talk about this CD real quick. Because I already know what grade I got in it for me. But
yeah, I already know what grade I got for this. Like I said, the intro was another great intro. And then Underground. Underground was just a smooth, you know what I'm saying, mellow, chill, laid-back song, but they were still snapping hard on it.
And that's the thing, like this CD was more like jazz. The A part of the CD before Pocket Full of Stones, the second Pocket Full of Stones, it was so, like, you would think you were almost at a jazz club, but you listen to gangster rap, if you think of, you know what I'm saying, because Underground and It's Supposed to Bubble, they both had those kind of dun, 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 those real piano-y, stringy type beats or whatever. But Pimp C talking about, I'm becoming real fried fucking hoes with big old thighs, you know what I'm saying? So it was the type of rap you would come to expect from gangster rap, but not on the type of beats.
And I would say one of my favorite songs out of the album is that I Left It Waiting For You. And if he tripped in his phone, never let a nigga say you were broad, proven wrong. Fool, I'm fucking this nigga gal now, and he know it. Got a bitch, but won't throw it. Talk your shit, but won't show it. Yo, it ain't nothing going on but nuts on naked tricks. They never fake and lick.
That, I like them all. Like Return, I love Return. Underground, It's Supposed to Bubble. I Left It Wet For You. You know what I'm saying? Like, as we go down here, like, those first four songs kind of set the tone for the CD. And then they flipped it right back. So, you know, Bun had his own, basically Fez in Town was just a Bun song, right?
Making that smooth ass beat, another Pimp C beat.
And if you go look at the, back in the day, kids, you would get a booklet with the CD. If you go look at the production said Pimp C, Pimp C, Pimp C, Pimp C, Pimp C, Pimp C.
Pimp did the whole album except, I think the last song with DJ DMG.
316s. After Pocket Full of Stones, it kind of stepped up a notch, because the front, back, and side to side is a classic song for me. I know you hoe ass niggas wanna ride, bitch. I got the front, back, and side to side, daddy. Back, front, back, and side to side. Back, front, back, and side to side. Back, front, back, and side to side. Never let hoe ass niggas ride. Six fucking 15, hitting harder than a nigga dead. And all you hoes getting dick in your back, going smack from a country ass goatee, chicken eating mac. Cause I'm a player that gets sweet and gushy. I take your bitch to my crib. Like the counter to what the West Coast were doing with Six Folds and Who Rides and stuff like that. It was like a southern version of that.
Yeah.
And then Protect and Serve. I don't know your thoughts on Protect and Serve and Stir on Junkin', but those were like, to me, too politically conscious songs or whatever. But not me, Pappy. I'm that bad man. A rap-a-tat, yeah. So don't even think about trying to play me, bitch. I get you down with my fucking 3-8, bitch. You got sugar in your nuts just like them good niggas. Ain't shit without that stick and that fucking trigger.
Tech N' Serve, like I said, it made you think. It wasn't like just straight gangster music with no purpose or no meaning. But Tech N' Serve showed you like they actually was trying to use their voice for something good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's always derogatory things that you could say rappers say, but at least they made an attempt.
Yeah.
You know, and Stone Junkie was, like you said, was a... It showed what the times that, you know, they was in with the whole crack epidemic. And plus, the shit, that beat was knocking. Stone Junkie had a hell of a beat on it.
It was the perfect beat for the song, right? Because it kind of was that, I'm doped up tight. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm rolling almost tight beat. And like, I don't know my right, I'm not in my right mind type beat. That.
Then, another thing I want to say is, another thing Pimp C didn't get credit for was, he did a pretty good job singing them hooks, too. Yeah, because he sung that Stone Junkie, and then, which this is funny, they went from Protect and Serve, Stone Junkie, to Pussy Got Me Dizzy. So that was just like a little roller coaster.
Yeah, and so like you say, like, the first four songs took you to like kind of a jazz club with just some gangster rap. Then, you know, if 5-6, you know, then from Pocket Full of Stones, front, back, and side to side, took you to another way. Then Protect and Serve, Stone Junkie took you another way. Then it seemed like, if you go back and look at this, it seemed like Pussy Got Me Dizzy is the complete outlier in the whole CD.
Yeah. And then they came back with 3-16s.
Which, I love 3-16s, by the way, because it was just, hey, we're just going to show you we can rap three different ways. You know what I'm saying? It was a simple concept. It wasn't no rhyme or reason. It wasn't getting no message across or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? It was just, hey, we're going to show you three different cats. We rep three different rays. We're going to give each person 16. And they do what they do with their 16.
I'm serious, and this is one of 3-16.
Yeah,
the bastards, I'm serious. This was only one of 3-16. Straight up, I'm serious. That was only one of 3-16.
But check this shit out.
It's DJ DMT, back with that funk flowing lazy. Kinda crazy, never letting niggas fade me.
I'm not gonna lie. Ryan Dirty may be the most popular album, and it should be, but this is right on point. So I would give this on a scale of 1 to 10. I start off with Digital Dare. I give this a 9.5.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would start giving it a 9.
This is a CD I don't have to skip over. Like I say, the only outlier for me is Pussy Got Me Dizzy. It's not a bad song. It's just singing completely different from all the other songs or whatever. We can go from there to probably the best CD in. If this isn't the best CD in rap history, it's definitely top 10 in my opinion.
Yeah, this is the one that introduced me to it. This is the one that changed my life right here.
So let me start with Ryan Dirty. Ryan Dirty came out when we was in 10th grade. Yeah. I bought Ryan Dirty 8 times. I'm talking about I bought it 6 times on CD. I bought it one time on digital download, and I think I had the tape too. I think I bought the tape because at the time I had one of them boom boxes. You know how you had them boom boxes that come with the tape, the radio, and the CD player. I had one of them, but my CD player broke. But I brought this Ryan Dirty iconic CD. I can talk about it all day, but I want you to put your hands on it or whatever.
Man, I mean, for Ryan Dirty, this was like, man. This puts me in a real happy place in my life, man. This is, like you said, about 10th grade high school. We was young. We were just a couple years from stepping into the real world. And, man, every time we cut class, we get in that car, we hit play on that tape deck, and it always had Ryan Dirty on it. Like, I can remember running from Rick Jones and as soon as we get to Mario's Regal, man, we always play that Ryan Dirty. And like I said, it rolled all the way through. You just flip it over and hit play. It wasn't really like shit. Matter of fact, half of the time we was riding dirty.
Exactly. Especially at the time I had the celebrity that was broke down, beat up. Mario had the Regal that was broke down and beat up. So,
and like you said, man, those were some good ass times that If I could go back, I'd do it all over again.
I want to go back to the Southern Fantasy Rap Draft. All the listeners, if you ever get a chance, please go back. That's one of our iconic podcasts. It's a three-part series. It's basically a Southern Fantasy album draft where we draft CDs. I think Ryan Durden was drafted third.
Blasphemy.
This album is so good, we compared it, because to me, this is their shining work. We compared it to 8-Ball and MJG coming out hard. And we can sit here and give the album head all day long. Let's just hit on some songs real quick and some things throughout the album so, you know, people will know why it's great.
Man, like the lyrics, and, well, UGK always has some lyrics that you could grow on with. And as a male, you know, in your adolescent period, you go, you know, and you going through, you ain't, you still developing and stuff. And, you know, you, with these lyrics, they kind of, they kind of put you in a place that prepared you for what the world was going to, what the world was going to attack you with. And you know what I'm saying? How women was going to act, and how you kind of had to treat women, or you had to look at them in a different light. They kind of prepared you, I guess, not to be no sucker, which I wish half of, you know what I'm saying, half of these kids would actually listen to some UGK and 8-Ball MJG, and it wouldn't be the way that they are. So that's what I'm saying as far as I took from it. And I don't know if you took from it, but I think majority of our peers, well, you know, we grew up to be like some real cats.
I take exactly what you said from it. I'm going to add a little more to it. It's so much gold in this CD. This is a 10 for several reasons. One, the beats. Again, Pimp C, they added N.O. Joe to this. A little more Bun even produced a song or two, but it was more laid back, more jazzy, more just instruments. And they touched on so many different things, but it's always like, how do you live your life? So like one day you hear, next day you're gone. Just talking about, you know what I'm saying? One day you hear, next day you're gone. People, you know what I'm saying? Murder. Bun, Rip, Murder. I think we all can say, you know, from your belly, belly, as I'm, you know what I'm saying? Bun, go through that.
I think with Murder was the equivalent of MJG ripping Lay It Down.
It was Bun and MJG. So you get, you know, not to keep throwing 8-Ball and MJG in here, but you got to kind of tie them to UGK to a degree. So Pimp C and 8-Ball, they are kind of the soul of the groups, meaning like they're such unique in their delivery, how they bring their raps. They may not be the best rappers, but they're so unique in their delivery that they stand on their own. But the lyricist in UGK, Bun is the lyricist. MJG's the lyricist and 8-Ball and MJG, in my opinion. And so, yeah. Pimp C gave it to you hard and raw and in Pimp C format. But as soon as, well, it's Bun B, bitch, and I'm the king of, you know what I'm saying? The lyrics, you shut down right then. And he took over and said, I'll take this from here on out. And he wrote it all the way through and gave it back to you.
And I'm the king of moving chickens, got them finger lickings. Sticking niggas that be tricking, you need a swift kicking. Your ass is right for the picking, now as my pocket's ticking. I'm be thinking nickel slicking, you sick when I be clicking. Now take a look at the bigger nigga, my liquor swigger. Play a hater, dish digger, figure my hair trigger. Give a hot one in your liver, you shiver, shake and quiver. I'm frivolous, silver nigga, get wetter than a river. For what it's worth, it's the birth of some niggas doing dirt. Fuck a first name, getting off the skirt, make a pussy hurt. It's the master, hit the switch of faster. Then you weep a blister bastard, fuck your sister pastor. Get the elbows for sale, yo brother, bet I have my mail, ho. Before I catch a murder case and go to jail, ho. Hell no, time to pay.
Yeah, Bun was actually a pretty damn good rapper. Like as far as his flow, cadence, you know what I'm saying? His lyrics were always there. But the way he rapped it and flowed it was damn near impeccable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bun could always ride a track.
I mean, not to just, we're going to jump through a little further, but in, I think it's touched or whatever when he was like, well, once upon a time, not too long ago, a nigga like myself had the strong arm, a hoe. And this was not a hoe in the sense of having a pussy, but a pussy having no goddamn sense trying to push me. You know, Jay-Z came back and quoted that on that 99 Problems, but God damn, Bun was saying that damn near 10 years before that. And so if you listen to what he said, you know what I'm saying? Like you say, he wrote, like, I think when you say cadence, most of us who aren't really musicians equate that to riding the beat or whatever. So when you on time and you hitting the beat just at the perfect time and stuff like that, like Bun was a pro at that, and especially at this CD at this point in his life, it was like this caught him in his prime, and it caught.
This to me definitely was his lyrical prime. Not as far as lyrical, but I could say lyrical and, you know, cadence. You know what I'm saying? Like it was really like you look forward to every Bun verse. Kind of like how people are looking forward to every Andre 3000 verse right now. Like back then, everybody was looking forward to a Bun verse. They just knew he was going to kill it.
Let me ask you this. What songs stand out on this CD? I know we could talk about every song, but just give me some to stand out real quickly.
To me, Diamonds and Wood.
That's the realest song ever. If you go listen to what they say, that's like you didn't understand it at the time, but when you live in the real world, those situations hit right on point.
Yeah, the Diamonds and Wood, man, Highlight, because man, Bun's verse and Highlight was just like a real, like it just touched you. Fuck My Car actually made me get a Cadillac. Ever since I heard Fuck My Car, I just knew then that I had to get me a Cadillac. Like I said, we won't go because I love the whole album, but to me, like I said, Diamonds and Wood, Fuck My Car, High Life, and Murder is obvious because like back then was people actually putting 12s and 15s in their cars, and Murder would actually knock the pictures off the wall. And man, Riding Dirty is one of the smoothest beats on there. I love Riding Dirty beats.
Yeah, listen. I can talk this shit. I remember. I'll let you guys know, man. You go ahead.
Riding dirty.
Straight up dedicated to them Cadillac.
Riding dirty.
I'm coming down on the slab, boy.
Riding dirty.
Real up.
Riding up.
Have you ever been rolling in a clean ass sack, blowing big out the window? Everybody got a sack, got my heat right between my seat. Got a box of them things in case these fools start playing with me.
Again, you could talk about every song on that. I'm not going to double back on most of the songs you said. I say this, Murder was so iconic. You had girls rapping Bun part. That's just how hard he wrote the beat and how on time he was with his cadence and stuff like that. I remember that high school, we had a real good band. You know, of course, we were athletes, but we had a real good band. And so the band did Murder, and I just remember seeing those girls rap Bun B verse to the instruments word for word. And that shocked me at the time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Fuck My Car, like you said, I remember messing with Maria, using Bun verse. You said you didn't want to, you took the whole out and she wanted to fuck you. You didn't want to, I just remember going with his verse. Come on, you want to fuck with one of his girls, my partner and his girl, you know what I'm saying? So
to me, Pim had the hardest verse of that one. When he came in, when you looked at my chrome and you licked your lips.
That just like me sticking between your hips. He did. It's just Bun.
You smile and you shake your hand, my grill smile right back.
Bitch, I'm the real, that's why I ride Cadillac. And I'ma fuck you and fuck all your friends. Soon as PLC come through and that's 600 bands. With burgundy paint, butter, and AMG rims. Color TV, VCR, play the greatest films of myself. One and up in beauty queens. But let me tell y'all niggas the difference between y'all and me. You see, man, I can tell all that bitch want to do with this ride.
Pimp C, he brought it all the way through, but it's just Bun. Like you say, this CD was about him being on cadence so much that I think that's what most listeners naturally pick up on, how he's in complete harmony with the beat or whatever. But I did want to
Pimp C was the soul. Like, his tone and his delivery was so unique, and it was country back when country wasn't even cool.
And
that's what I appreciate about it, because he didn't try to change for nobody. Pimp C was Pimp C.
Yep. And this CD was so good, you're gonna laugh at me. I still listen to the CD today, but the outro beat was basically the Riding Dirty beat kept going, right? But the instruments,
the outro was
Diamonds Against the Wood beat. I'm sorry, it was Diamonds and Wood beat. I apologize for that. But they let the instruments play a little more and took the bass down a little bit. And it was just, I still listen to the outro where they shouting out Shaquille O'Neal, different parts of the South. I just the perfect CD. So I think we both will say it's a 10 or whatever. No,
plus.
No questions asked. I do want to ask you with this. Of all the albums you ever heard, does this rank in your top 10?
Shit, this might go in the top 3.
For me, All Eyes on Me, this, maybe Scarface the Die Real something, Outkast. This is definitely my top 7. I was trying to come up with a number today, and that may be a separate podcast, but I got to seven and I couldn't kick this out for nothing else.
To be honest with you, if they said the world was going to end and you could only listen to or grab one last CD, this might be it for me. Yeah, this one right here. Like I said, I done bought this numerous times, got it on MP3, got it on phones, but it seems like I always keep it accessible in some form or fashion that I could always listen to Riding Dirty when I want to.
I agree with you. And the greatest thing about this CD, and most of these CDs with Ball, MJGM, UGK, and even Outkast, all of them, is that they don't feature that many people. Like, I think the only voice you heard outside of theirs was maybe 3-2 and N.O. Joe every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, you got a great point with that. They didn't even care about features. It was always them two. That's all they cared about.
And that's all they needed.
Yeah. Like, they didn't need, like, man, you know, now, well, I guess it changes with the time, but everybody's album seemed like a damn compilation album.
Yeah.
But yeah, like this was actually UGK. That was it.
So the next album we're gonna talk about is Dirty Money.
Yeah. Now with Dirty Money, I can actually admit I was kind of disappointed with Dirty Money, because the anticipation for Dirty Money they had so many like underground and unreleased tracks, you know, before they released Dirty Money, and with it kind of missed me a little bit.
It missed me too, because you went from Dirty, you went from Riding Dirty with no features, kind of the instruments being played. It was almost like this doesn't really sound like a UGK CD. What we had come to know as a UGK CD.
Now, let me ask you this. Was this after Pimp C got released or before? Or, because it seemed like it was, like you said, something happened along the way where it just didn't seem like a true UGK CD.
Bun said it, and he talked about this, and so I don't think they had as much creative input as they did the other two CDs or whatever.
Yeah. And now with this album, it actually featured, you know, some of the songs that were, one released in.
Because a lot of these were on trio mixes. Like, some of these songs were on trio mixes or whatever.
Songs which were great, but when they showed up on the album, it just seemed like the production changed. It just didn't have that same feel to it.
Yeah, so Pimp C was in jail, because when they did this, if he wasn't in jail when they decided to go forward with this CD, he must have just got out when it was released. Because for some of the features, which, you know what I'm saying, which of course are all pretty much Southern people, but the production, the only reason it feels like a UGK CD is because they're good enough musicians where Bun can rap on anything. Pimp, he's so unique in his delivery. He can come on anything that they can make it sound okay. But the production wasn't Pimp C. If you go look, production wasn't really Pimp C like that. It like somebody took the songs and made them like to the 2000.
Like, I'm actually looking at the song list, and to be honest with you, I don't think I even listened to it much. I might have listened to them trio mixes more than the actual Riding Dirty.
Well, I remember trio mixes had Let Me See It, trio mixes had Look At Me, trio mixes had Pimpin' Ain't No Illusion, Take It Off. It had Wood Wheel on it. The ones that really were new to the CD are pretty much the ones with the features on it. So, like, Now, let me go back and do say this. Ain't the song with Devin, ain't that a bitch?
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. It said, UGK, we've been watching your success ever since you dropped. We would have spoke a long time ago, but we thought you would have flopped. Man, you too got some to graduate to mainstream status from being too broke, from off the goods, growing up in a town.
Some different clothes on. I guess a bitch is so fine that you pay it no mind. You asked her where she been. She said with one of her friends that line. Her bitch is a gold mine. Well, that's how she feels. And she can get a few things in exchange for cheap thrills. The price of bitch is turning some women up.
I love that.
That's one of the best songs they did. And I remember talking to my homeboy from Philadelphia about this. I was in college. And I just remember saying that you got to be some type of genius to say what Bun say. I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. It said, fuck you, GK. We've been watching your success ever since you niggas dropped. You know, he just went on, basically chronicled their career. And he made it seem like the government wrote that to him. I thought that was pure genius.
That one, like I said, but the weird part was when this was released, they edited it out the bitch.
Yeah, they cursed and everything, but edited out ain't that a bitch.
It might have been Jive fucking with him. I don't know what it was, but just, I know the version I got like a couple years back was, it didn't edit it out. But during this time, it was, it kind of threw me off. You know, like, why would they edit out bitch and the rest of the song, the rest of the album is explicit.
Yeah, and they let all the other cursing come.
Brings up another song, not to get off track, but they did the same thing with MJG. His No More Glory album with the song with Run B on it. They did the same thing.
Oh, that Take No Shit.
Yeah, edited that out too, which was weird too. So it might have been, I don't know, it might have been something with Bun and Jive or something.
I think it was something with Jive. Because I remember them explicitly talking. I remember Bun talking about this. I think this was after Pimp C passed, and he was just doing kind of like what we're doing, just going back thinking of certain stuff. And he was just saying how they were getting into it with Jive. He even said it on the song, the story on Trill, his first CD, how right around this time they were getting into it with Jive and they thought they were going to be put on the shelf. That's why this CD doesn't sound UGK. And then like Pimp C said, first line, everybody want to know why the album was late. I was waiting for Whitey to get my fucking paper straight on Don't Say Shit with Gil. I actually like that song too, but.
Well, I'm going to tell you my picks off this song. I'm going to go with Let Me See It. Because that'll still get the ass shaking in the club to this day. Everybody know Let Me See It when they come on. Ain't that a bitch? Take it off.
Victoria tried to hide a little slide to lie. I done pushed my pride aside. Just a slide aside, man. I done died denied. That's what I'm supposed to do. Then got close to you looking like.
For me, it's Wood Wheel. Even though this was on Trill Mix, it's Wood Wheel. Ain't that a bitch? I like PA Nigga. I like PA Nigga too, because when the beat broke down, Bun broke down with the beat too. And they start chopping the beat. We breaking down niggas at breakneck speed, breakneck speed. When he did that, I thought he killed that.
This rap game at breakneck speed, blocks like Vex, please, your legs keys, your checks freeze, your bank account shut down overseas.
Like you, I was disappointed because you gotta think they came off. We just said the CD before this is definitely a top 10 CD of all time, right?
Yeah.
So to go from that to this was really a letdown to me. What grade or what number would you give it?
I'd give it a 7.
I agree with you. It don't feel like it was something that they had a part in all the way through. So we're going to skip Side Hustle. The Side Hustle really was songs that were already out one way or the other. I do want to talk about Underground Kings, the double CD. Because this is really what got me to do this podcast.
You sure? Fuck it. You know we got your back like chiropractic. Tick, if that bitch do you dirty, we'll wipe her ass out as in detergent. Now hurry, go on to the altar. I know you ain't a pimp, but pimp, remember what I taught you. Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart, three stacks. These girls are smart. Play your part. My bitch will choose it, love her, never fuck without a rubber. Never in the sheets like it on top of the cover. Money on the dresser, drive a compressor. Top notch hoes get the most, not the lesser. Trash like the fuck with $40 in the club. Fucking up the game, bitch, it gets no love.
I was listening to this CD and I forgot how great this CD was. And it's a double CD and I was telling somebody, I put it on Instagram actually. I was like, darn, I forgot how great this CD was. And one of the things that was so great about the CD to me was that it seemed like they were given complete creative control for this CD. Like, if you wanted, you got to think they got songs with Big Daddy Kane, Talib Kweli. It's just whoever they wanted, they went, it seemed like the label, like, get whoever you want, gave them complete autonomy on this CD, in my opinion.
Yeah. And see, what I basically looked at this CD from a different perspective than you. Because, like you said, with all the features and creative control, to me was, it disappointed me because I wanted, like I said, the old UGK feel, where it's nothing but Pimp and Bun and Pimp C beats. Therefore, when this came out, like they had beats by The Runner, they had beats by Jazzy Faye, Lil Jon. So to me, it wasn't that UGK nostalgia that you know what I'm saying, that. The original UGK to me, it was more so them conforming to the times of, you know, all these, like I said, it was basically a compilation album.
Again, to your point, it was, but I want to flip it and say I look at it a different way than you. I think Jive just said, hey, you know, you guys are, you've been underrated for so, it's one of those things where you've been underrated for so long, you actually become overrated kind of, and so I think Jive just threw, hey, whatever you guys need to make the CD, it's a, you know, anything reasonable. You know what I'm saying? If you want to work with this person, go get them. If you want to work with that person, go get them. Anything reasonable, we down with you guys or earned it. You got, you know, this is our apology for not maybe, you know, sticking by you guys the way we should. You know what I'm saying? Because at this point in time, I think they both individually were signed to rap a lot. But as a group, they were still under Jive. So I think it was just one of the ways that Jive tried to get back to them and just apologize to them, because I remember during the time, and I remember afterward when they were, you know, talking about this, they were saying, like Bun was saying, some of the people they always wanted to work with, and a lot of people they always work with are people on this song, you know, on this CD, you know what I'm saying? And I remember, of course, the song, probably the most popular song on here is the International Players Anthem with Outkast, and I remember them saying, Bun saying how the CD, how that song got created. Because you know it's a remix to the original with 3-6 Mafia, and they were saying that.
Yeah, I'm about to say, shout out to DJ Paul and Juicy J for selling the same beat twice.
Yeah, but they, what happened was Bun said, I think Outkast heard the original, like, darn, can we get on it? And they both called him, so like, Andre 3000 male called Bun, Bit Boy male called Pimp, and said, boy, I like the song, can we get on it? And independently, each of them were like, hell yeah. And so that's how they wound up producing this song, because from what I remember, I think this was the CD. I think Bun and Pimp really weren't seeing eye to eye at the time or whatever. Because I remember when Pimp C died, Bun B said they weren't on the best of terms. Let me ask you this. What song stood out to this on you?
To me, actually, it was Quit Hating South. I actually love that song.
Studio. Now, I say I like Quit Hating the South too. Willa D snapped on there. I like Quit Hating the South. I like the Like That remix. I didn't like the beat of the original Like That. I like the remix that, girl, you know you like that, with Pimp C. I thought he shined on that song. And then that beat was more string. It was more Pimp C-ish type beat.
Call you by that pit name. Go keep up in it when I stand up in that pit thing. Piece of chain, pull a diamond. Getting paper the American way. Save a coke with silk lining. Upgrade, throw the mink away. I'm like Beyonce to the left. Any bitch can be replaced. But I stand to the right, shining bright. Ready to put dick in your face. You don't want me to talk like that. You ever got fucked in a Maybach? You ever got fucked in the back of the leg? Roof gone, top back. I'm the real, this ain't no acting monkey. Niggas playing dumb. Nigga, knife, you ain't had no pipe. I lay up in your bitch, you won't come. Bitch, you know you like it.
Like the remix, not the original one. The original, I really didn't like the original. And the reason I didn't like the original one, because I see now Lil Jon was the one who produced it, and that song was completely fucked up.
Mighty Joe Young upside the whole head and fuck her emotions. I want the whole bread. I ain't paying attention to what the hoe said. That hoe can go ahead. If she ain't feeling it, she ain't going nowhere. She love how I'm drilling it. I throw it up on her, she throw it right back. Yeah, bitch, you know I like that. Bitch, you know I like that. Bitch, you know you like.
I like Trill Niggas Don't Die. I like How Long Can It Last. I actually like the cocaine beat. That beat is real smooth. Like with Rick Ross, even though, you know, you think what you want to think about the song. I actually like this beat a lot. Where it's Pimp C do the hook. Cocaine, cocaine. I like that. I like Chrome Plated Woman. I like Shattered Dreams.
I wish I didn't really get into this album. Maybe I should go back and check it out. But it was just, like I said, I was basically disappointed in this album. Like I said, I didn't open up to it like I should have. I'll probably go back and do so, but the ones I like I said, it's just a few that I liked on here. I should have listened to more of it, though.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, can you give a number then?
Damn, I can't even give a number on this.
No, that's fine. I actually give it a 9.
I'm going to have to come back and give you a number on this.
Yo, do that for the fans. Let us know, because there's so much gold on here.
When was it? Back in 2007.
Yeah.
So I should be able to go back and listen. But I know back then I was disappointed.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you, because again, they followed up pretty much Dirty Money with Trill Mix, with Side Hustles, which then turned into this. So, because of Pimp C legal troubles, right? You know what I'm saying? You this was like the CD that came out when he got out, right? For the most part. And so.
And then we followed this up with UGK for Life. And this kind of had a trickled effect from the last album to me. Like when I first heard, I think the first song I heard off this album I actually loved was
The Game Ain't Good to Me, or Used to Be. Get on the first two I heard.
The Pimp and the Bun. I actually like that one with
Eyes on It. Yeah, yeah.
So I heard that one. Then I love the little interludes. One with Pimp C and the other one with Bun B with the same beat. I think it's called, let me see what it's called, 7th Street and Texas Ave. Yep, I haven't even listened to this one that much. I can't even give a number on this. Like I said, I was still disappointed from the last one.
I listened to this, but not as much as I should, because this was after Pimp C death. So I always get kind of frustrated with these CDs because it seems like it's stuff that somebody else puts together.
Yeah.
But I did, like the songs I do remember. I remember the interludes. I like the Pimp and the Bun. I actually did like that a lot. But I like the Used to Be, because it finally got a chance for them to work with 8-Ball, MJG, E-40, and Be Legit, who, you know, we both like Be Legit and E-40. You know what I'm saying? So it got a chance for them to be. That was the song for me, that the one that I enjoyed the most. I like the game and good to me too. So I thought this was okay. I thought this was actually the worst UGK CD. You know, I can't really grade them correctly because, again, Pimp C wasn't there to say, hey, put this song on, take this song off, put this on. So you're not really getting the full effect of UGK when you do that. It's not really a full group CD.
Yeah. I feel you, like, with you, you can't really, you know, grade it after. Like, to you, your last real UGK CD was Underground Kings, right?
Yeah, like, this isn't a UGK CD. This is somebody trying to capitalize on UGK and Pimp C dying, almost. So.
And, like, to me, mine was the last UGK CD was Dirty Money, which wasn't even really, like, a UGK CD.
If we had to rank the ones, like, the best would be Ride Dirt. The second best would be Super Tight. Third best probably would be Underground Kings. Fourth best would be Too Hard to Swallow. Fifth best would be Dirty Money. And the last one would be UGK for Life, if I had to rank them for me.
Probably around about the same to me. I'll probably switch Underground Kings with Too Hard to Swallow.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Who's your favorite between Pimp and Bun?
Oh, man. My favorite is actually my number one in my top five of all rappers is Pimp C. I love the Pimp, man. Pimp, like I said, Pimp might not be the greatest lyricist or the greatest rapper, but Pimp spoke real shit, kind of like in a Tupac way, but it is like, man, Pimp C made me probably the type of man that I am today when it comes to dealing with women. You know, I ain't out there slapping women and calling them hoes and all that shit, but I am quick on my feet, and I do know what to look for, you know, thanks to the good knowledge of the Pimp. And, you know, with his lyrics, man, it's, you ain't gonna get no, like I said, nothing from the back of the dictionary very deep in there, you know, but it's just straightforward. You know, it's something you could just soak up right away, and it leaves a logging impression. Like, I can still go back and think of Pimp C verses from, like, 94, 91. You know, that's the effect that it has on me.
Pimp C, like your grandparents. Like, your grandparents ain't gonna never impress you with their vocabulary, but they gonna always give you wisdom when they speak, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the wisdom, like I said, like Pimp C say shit like, it's a very thin line between love and hate, and it's a very thin line between a fuck and a date. You know what I'm saying? Like, things like that, when you just growing up and you really don't understand it, but then it's in your subliminally, then you, when you come across that situation, like, damn, that's what Pimp C meant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Pimp C will always hold that crown to me. That's my number one. I put Pimp C above everybody.
I can't give a best. I say why they both are great and why they both are legends. Pimp C for his delivery. Like, you would never find anybody with a delivery like Pimp C. He almost like a person who has an ugly jump shot that goes in. Like, you'll never hear anybody, to your point, compare Pimp C to the greatest lyricists of all time. But if you listen to what he say, you won't find too many rappers who give you the real like Pimp C give you the real. But he had that secondary skill, which was production and singing. When you know what I'm saying, like, to be a legend in rap, you don't always have to be the best lyricist. You just have to be unique in how you bring out your stuff. And if you have more than one skill, then that carries you on, right? So, like, for me, Pimp C's a A1 producer. And he's one of the people who can go in and make you the track, and then put his voice on and give you that unique sound that can't nobody else give you, no matter. And he's one of the, and to keep Pimp C going a little longer, he's one of the few who's kept this country rap tunes, fuck that hip hop shit going.
Yeah. I mean, as far as us being from the South, while everybody, you know, back in our time where hip hop wasn't even considered anything Southern, they stood for us, you know, other than Outkast and UGK and, you know, Dungeon Family, but UGK had their own unique sound. Like you say, it's country rap tune. They don't even call that shit hip hop.
And Pimp C was the first one to embrace it. Like, hell nah, we not hip hop. Fuck you and your hip hop. We country rap tunes, and this we gonna roll with. Pimp C like, fuck that. Nah, nigga, we country. We gonna keep talking country, and you gonna like it or you gonna say fuck you. You know what I'm saying? And
but respect the man and his craft for that.
Exactly. You like. You may not like him. You may think he sucked, but you at least got to respect him for standing on his morals.
Yeah. And by him standing on that, he stood up for us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We are the South.
And then I also want to give a salute out to Bun. Bun, top lyricist. Not even in the South, just pure. Bun lyrics go hard with anybody. You know what I'm saying? And you could tell that from when Pimp C went to jail, how he was just jumping on there about a feature. You know what I'm saying? Bun B was killing shit from 50 Cent to Jeezy to cats you never heard of again. He had one song with some cats from Decatur. I forget these cats' name. And Bun gave you the best verse. Even he went to Wale before Wale was hot and gave you the best verse and got the hell on, man. So.
And like you said, somebody, Jeezy, really need to be thanking Bun.
We get money over here, and then it was Trap or Die. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's Trap or Die. Back up in the hood again, where it's all good again. R.I.P. Pimp C. Salute Bun B, man. Thank you for putting down for this time, giving us great music to grow up on and keeping our collection, man. Final thought, man. UGK, too many classics to name, too much good music to keep track of, man. But for everybody who listen, man, go to your iTunes, your Google Play, wherever. Download their whole catalog, man. You definitely won't be disappointed. Go back and check out other music matchups. We did the Ryan Dirty versus the Too Hard to Swallow. We did the Outkast music matchup. We did this. Please. If you listen to DigitalDarren.com, just check out the Southern Fantasy Rap Album Draft. At all our music podcasts, that's the one that we stand on. So, like Sam D said, if we could only take one podcast with us that's not sports related, it would be the Fantasy Album Draft for me. It's a great one. This has been DigitalDarren.com. Make sure to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend.
Smoking.